entitled, Are You a Believer? Some people consider themselves believers, and yet seemingly find it very, very difficult to believe the things that God teaches. The Bible tells us that believers obey the Lord. Jesus said, My sheep hear my voice. But that's not all he said. He said, And do follow me. There is a question mark upon one being a true believer if they will not follow the leadership and the teaching of the Lord. In Romans chapter 15, we have a testimony by the Apostle Paul. Verses 18 and 19. He said, Romans 15, verse 18 and 19, For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ hath not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about Illyricum I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. The things that he spoke and God did to make the Gentiles obedient. In Romans chapter 1, verse 5, there are a lot of people talk about the grace of God and the doctrines of grace who live very careless, unseparated lives. But we find in this verse that we receive grace. Verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Obedience to the faith. So very important that those who are saved understand what they were saved for. And those who have received grace, what they have received grace for. We call a person a believer when they have professed faith in Jesus Christ as the Savior of their soul. They may have seemed happy at the time and declared publicly their faith in Christ. But if they do not go on and accept baptism, or are baptized and neglect to assemble before the Lord to be fed and to be taught and to worship on a regular basis, we have nothing to go on in declaring our confidence in their being a believer. Believers, those who believe that God, what he says is right, do what he says. Those who don't believe that he says what he says is right, don't do it. Those who believe that what God says is best, do what God says. Those who don't believe what God says to be best, don't do it. To believe God is to obey God. To disobey God is to disbelieve God. And can one be called a believer who doesn't believe? Oh, I believe in Christ. Can you believe God concerning the salvation of your soul and not believe God concerning the other things that he has to say to us? God charged Moses with not believing when he lost his temper and hit the rock the second time to bring forth water. God told him not to do it. God said when he didn't do, when Moses did what God told him not to, even though it was in a moment of temper, even though it was because he just got so provoked by the people's attitude, God still called it an act of unbelief. So one who is redeemed, even one who, as Moses, has walked with the Lord for many years, whenever they disobey God, they're practicing unbelief. The only reason we would disobey God is if somehow we believed we'd get more good out of not obeying Him than obeying Him. So that's not believing that we'd get more good out of obeying Him. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, where it speaks of Abel offering the acceptable sacrifice unto the Lord by faith, and tells about Enoch walking by faith, and Noah believing God and building the ark, and Abraham believing God and leaving his family and his kinfolk, the land of his own land. It tells us there in Hebrews 11 verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You have to believe Him. Can someone really believe that God has saved their soul and not believe they ought to be baptized? Can someone believe that God has really saved their soul and not believe that they ought to serve Him and live for Him? I mean, you either believe Him or you don't. You can't say, I believe about Jesus, but I don't believe that other. Oh, you say, I'm not saying that. If you're not doing it, it's because you don't believe it. Oh, you might believe back there that you ought to do it, but you believe stronger that you ought not, or you would. So really, it's not believing as believe means in the Bible. To have faith in God and His Word is to trust implicitly in it, unquestionably in it. But it seems that it's possible for a time to really believe that you're saved and not do the things that God would have you to do. Not believe Him on other things. And it's possible, of course, to disobey what you know to be right, what you really do believe to be right. But it's not possible to do those things and not be expressing unbelief and not be showing a lack of faith. And it is sin when we do, And we must repent of it and confess it. Now, disobedience or unbelief, however you want to say it, is what makes it so hard to teach and spread in the Word of God. To start missions, build churches. Lost people's favorite excuse is the hypocrites in the church. Those who say they believe one thing and do another. Too many unbelievers amongst those who say they believe. That is, in practice, they're unbelievers. Too many who come on Sunday and smile and sing and just enjoy it seemingly. And then go out into the world and act as though they had heard nothing or at least believed nothing that they had heard. Too many. That's what hinders the work of God so much. Too many who don't live what they say they believe or just don't believe what the Bible teaches. Now, if there's an alarm button in your heart, in your mind, you know, if you're saved, I think there ought to be sometime I ought to hit that alarm button with the preaching of the Word. And you ought to get alarmed. If there's anything this Bible teaches, and you call yourself a believer, and you say, I never do that. I don't believe there's anything wrong with it. Sound the alarm. You're an unbeliever. You're not a believer. An unbeliever. Can you be a believer and an unbeliever too? I don't know. It's pretty hard. Just to call yourself and really be satisfied that you're a believer, but yet don't believe. What God plainly tells us is so important to believe His Word and to show that we believe it by doing it. Jesus gave the command to the church in Matthew chapter 28, the commission we call it. Go into all the world and make disciples. He didn't say just go everywhere you can and get as many folks saved as you can. He said go make disciples. The church's job is to make disciples out of those who come to know Christ as their Savior. A disciple is a student and a follower. Make disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And there's not an instance in the Word of God where there was anyone who really believed that Jesus died for their sins who would not allow the church to baptize them. Not a single one. If you believe Christ died for your sins, surely you believe it'll please Him for you to be baptized. And it's essential for you to have a right relationship with Him. Many are finding out today the effects of disobedience. Exodus chapter 34. Verse 5. The Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. I'll tell you what's wrong with us. God's been too merciful. He's been too patient and long-suffering. Keeping mercy for thousands, forgiven iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. Not to believe God is to have, is to take a chance of grave consequences. Many who today, in these last days, have taken part in immoral acts after they've been saved, those who would go to drinking after they've been saved, even using drugs after they've been saved, are possibly going to affect and cause even their grandchildren to suffer because of that which they do, because of their unbelief and disobedience. The spiritual effects of unbelief are staggering, and the possible consequences. I've known many professing Christians, many once members of the Lord's church, whose children, as we mentioned this morning, know nothing about God's saving grace. And it's not just because they didn't anymore go to church. Sometimes they continue to go to church. They just didn't have any influence any other way, any other time, or were unbelievers in other things that caused their children to not be influenced, to want to be a Christian themselves, or want to join the church. Believer parents, who seem totally unconcerned if their children are ever saved or not. Something wrong with that kind of belief. Baptism is an expression of faith, the very first one that the Lord tells us to show. Church membership is certainly an expression of belief. Faithful attending, great expression of belief. And we'll get into that a little farther, these things. Supporting the cause of Christ and the church with your means, expressions of faith. We need to ask ourselves today if we really are believers, and how much can we say we believe. Do we just believe in part? So I believe every word of the Bible. You only believe as much as you do. If you don't do all that you know it teaches, that you ought to do and that you could do, then you must say, I'm a partial believer. You're only a partial believer in the Word of God. You only believe as much as you do. Know to do and can do. So are you a real believer? Or say you, well, you know, I like to do in the world. You believe all that? Well, you know. Is that what you want to look like to the world? That's what you do look like. If you only believe part of what God says. Then you say, well, you believe that he preached that, you know. You think you have to do that? You know, that's his idea. Maybe. I don't know, but I don't think it's that important. Anyhow, I'm not going to. That's dangerous. That's serious. The old alarm ought to be ringing. And then, of course, every time trouble comes, Every time something unexpected happens, every time we're disappointed, we're going to not believe Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Oh, but what if this happens? Oh, what if that happens? Oh, but what? If it happens, it happens. You still have to trust God. And you still have to believe he could have stopped it. And you still have to believe it's for the good of those that are called. Those that believe. Not very many believe Romans 8:28. Always afraid it's not so. Miserable moments of their life because they're afraid to believe it. John chapter 11, Lazarus died. Close friend of the Lord. True follower. Jesus loved to go to Lazarus' house. Went there often with his disciples. Mary and Martha were his sisters. Martha loved to fix a lot of food when Jesus and his disciples come in. And Mary just loved to sit at his feet and listen to him. Lazarus got sick and Jesus wouldn't even go. Here he'd healed blind people that never had seen him before. Here's one of his faithful followers, one of his true friends. His sister sent for him, said, "My brother's sick." Jesus didn't even go. He died. He was buried several days in the grave before Jesus got there. And they began to question Jesus, "Oh Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died," and everything. And Jesus said, "Did not I say, if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Something happens to one of our loved ones, we should say, "Well, we'll see the glory of God in all this. Someday we'll see how this glorified God. Did not I tell you that if you believed, you'd see the glory of God?" Oh, how we need to be believers. We need to take Proverbs chapter 3. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding." We need to say like Job did, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." Noah believed God and built a great old big boat. Mammoth boat. More than 2 football fields long. Would have never had rain to drop in the history of the world. Because God said it was going to rain until it flooded everything. Believe God. And Abraham believed God. And Sarah believed enough to follow him. Took his wife and child away from her parents. Away from his parents. Out into a wilderness. Where they didn't know anybody. Through dangers. Difficulties unimaginable. But the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 4. I love this part of Romans chapter 4 where it says, about Abraham. Verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. When it was impossible as far as man was concerned, Abraham still believed it. And then on down there in verse 20, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. If Abraham hadn't immediately went when God told him to go, if he'd have hesitated, hemmed, hawed around and everything, and it would have been because of unbelief. But he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. All belief glorifies the Lord. Believe God and keep His word. Being fully persuaded, and this is one of the most wonderful verses in the Bible. Fully, completely persuaded, convinced that what He had promised, He was able to perform. He didn't say, God, now I don't mind going, but there really isn't any use, you see, because Sarah's barren. Besides that, she's too old. I'm too old. There isn't any way, Lord, that we could have a child. No, I don't mind going. I'm willing to go. That would have been unbelief. He staggered not. But believed. Being fully persuaded that what He had promised He was able to perform. Until God had told Abraham, I'm going to multiply your seed. As yet when he had no children. You're going to have children. You're going to have so many descendants that you won't be able to count them. And Abraham believed him. Even when God said he got that son, miraculously, and he was grown, and he didn't have any children yet, God said to Abraham, I want you to take that son and I want you to sacrifice him to me. You know what Abraham did? He told his wife, Isaac and I have to go somewhere. He didn't hem-haw around and beg the Lord not to make him do it or anything. Because he believed God. He'd come to where he believed him. And you know what it says in Hebrews as explains it? That Abraham was willing. He got his boy out the next day and took some servants with him and had them carry the wood for the fire. They didn't know what they were getting ready for. After they got near to where he was going to offer him up, the Mount of God, told his servants, stay there. Didn't want any interference from them. Then he took Isaac on up. Anyway, he bound him and laid him on the altar and raised the knife. He was going to take his life because the Lord told him to. Even though the Lord had told him that through Isaac, he was going to give him more descendants than he could count. The Lord stopped him, of course. But what we needed to know that Abraham believed God that much. And Hebrews 11 explains that Abraham said, well, his belief wasn't in, if God says do it, I ought to do it. No, not just that. I think he believed that if God said do it, he ought to do it. But his belief was, God said he's going to give me many children through Isaac. And so he's going to have to raise him from the dead. So, if I do kill him, he's going to have to raise him back up. That's how much he believed God. He's able to give them to him in the first place when he wasn't, when it was impossible as far as human thinking is concerned, then he's able to raise him up again, even from death. Moses believed God and gave up the riches of Egypt. That's no small thing. That's no little thing. You may not think you have much today, but would you give it all up for the Lord? Would you? Would you gladly give it all up? Would you, in order to be true and keep on being where the Lord wants you to serve Him, serving Him the way He wanted you to serve Him, would you lose your house and job and every one of your earthly possessions just in order to serve the Lord? When Moses gave up the riches of Egypt, son of the king, adopted son of the king, we went out to suffer affliction with the people of God, gave up riches and pleasure to go out and suffer, because he believed God that the recompense of the reward would be worth it, worth far more than all the riches of Egypt. Now, I haven't gone into a lot of detail. I could tell you, I could preach a long sermon on what my wife and I and my children have suffered and what we've given up and what it's cost us to preach the word. And it might get you to cry and feeling sorry for us and everything. But that wouldn't sound like I believe that the recompense, the reward, is far greater. You don't figure you're giving up anything when you're getting something worth many times more in return. A lot of preachers get up and all they want to tell you is how they've suffered and what they've given up, what it's cost them. It's cost every one of them a plenty if they've really surrendered to the ministry. But God, His promises are rich, and we're to believe, all of us must believe, that what He has promised, He is able to perform. David believed Him, slew Goliath, and many more things. Daniel believed God, and he could have said, how many would say, well, they had a gun at my back, they made me do it, I was a prisoner, I was a captive, they made me do it. Daniel said, they can't make me. He wouldn't even eat ham as a prisoner in a foreign country with a knife at his throat. He said, I won't eat it. I'm not going to defile myself in God's sight. We'll kill you if you don't. Go ahead and kill me. I won't do it. So much you believe God. Daniel had faith. He believed God. But we would say, I believe God, I'd never do it. But they made me. You know. How many men have said, oh, they made me work Sunday? Well, now, I'm not saying if you have to or not. But I am saying, most of the time people said they made me, they didn't have the right or the power to make you. Peter believed God, and he had done nothing but fish all his life. He is a professional fisherman. And he fished all night and caught nothing. And Jesus said, cast your net out on the other side of the ship. Now, it was just a small boat, fisherman boat in those days. It was probably more than 6 feet across at the very most. And they'd covered the whole part of the lake all night
Feast every inch of it. Not caught anything. And Jesus comes along and said, just, you're doing it from the wrong side of the boat.
Now that'd be pretty hard to swallow, wouldn't it, brethren? But that'd make a difference. Some of you are smiling because I started to call your names. No, but Peter said, well, we've toiled all night and caught nothing, but nevertheless, because you say so, I will. And because Jesus said so, and he believed him, and he put the nets out on the other side of the boat, they caught them so full that they broke the nets. They even had to call the other boats around for help to get in the fish that they caught, just for casting it on the other side of the ship. Why? What made the difference? Doing what God says. Believe in God. And Paul left everything to go preach to the Gentiles. Said, I suffered the loss of everything. Honor and prestige, he had it amongst the Jews. Home, loved ones, family, he had it all. He said, I give it every bit up. Not any more important for a preacher to give up anything for the Lord than it is any other believer. How many there are that I've known who claim salvation but just couldn't believe God on so many things. If God can remove the stain and guilt of sin, can't he provide for everything else? Can't he do anything? Can't he keep his promises? Can't we trust him without understanding, even when it seems impossible, even when it is impossible? With men. I want to just mention a few modern day unbelievers. And this is just a few that came to my mind without doing any real serious spending any time upon it. Just a few things that the Lord brought to my mind that seems to be that people have trouble believing God over, who say they're believers. Faithful church attendance. There's a whole lot of believers who don't believe that it's essential to, in order to have a right relationship with God. Listen, when we sing, we stand up, sing in the choir or here in a quartet or by ourselves, we're implying that we're walking close to the Lord and that we're faithful. If you're not providentially hindered, if it's not God's providence that has brought circumstances upon you and situation that prevent you from coming, if you don't come on Wednesday night, you can't call yourself faithful and ought not to sing in the choir and will not or sing solos. We're not going to investigate or question whether you were hindered, whether you were working or not, whether you just sat home beyond if you say you were. But then that becomes your responsibility. There are those who don't believe separating yourself from the world is important. That God really cares. He really means it. That we must be careful to look and act godly. That we must not speak ungodly. Dress indecently, immodestly, or in a manner that pleases God. Don't believe that you ought to do that. There's some who don't believe it, who consider themselves believers. There's some who don't believe that it's not possible to stay in the right relationship with God and marry unbelievers. There's some who don't believe
that we're forbidden by God to give our children to unbelievers in marriage. There's some who don't believe that it's better never to have a close companion, wife or husband, than to marry an unbeliever. But it is. There are many who realize that they're hooked up to and forced to live with the child of the devil, and did so knowingly and by their own choice, that are suffering, but very justly so. If you weren't a believer when you married an unbeliever, you don't have that responsibility and that burden. You still have to live with an unbeliever and you have that problem. But for believers to knowingly go against, not to believe what God says, marry unbelievers, serious business. Tithes and offerings. A lot of people don't believe when God says, "Try me, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you cannot receive." They don't believe that it's robbing God when they don't. And then there are those who would say it this way, "Oh yes, I do believe that it's robbing God not to tithe, and I believe God would bless us if we did, but I don't believe I can afford it." If you don't believe you can afford to tithe, you don't believe God. There's a whole lot of people believe in tithing, but believe they can't afford it. The needs of the church. That the church is the most important thing in their life. Forsake not assembling together. He's talking that assembling together is church. There ought not to be a conflict. Church shouldn't take the place of wife and children. Wife and children shouldn't take place of church. Just like wife shouldn't take place of children with the husband, and children shouldn't take place of wife with him either, or vice versa with the wife. But should there become a conflict, the Lord and the church should come first. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 13. Well, let's go back. Might as well start with verse 10. "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord." Not that this isn't God's word, but the first part he heard the Lord taught when he was here, but now he's telling it through Paul in this part of it. "If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified or protected by the husband to some extent. The home is sanctified, else were the children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart, but don't you. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases." Now what that is saying is not what so many people try to make it say.
If you're married to an unbeliever and because of your service to the Lord, and you're trying to live godly, causes troubles and problems, and they threaten to leave you, it says, let them go. You're not bound to go with them. You're not bound to quit serving the Lord to please them. But it doesn't mean that you're still not married to them. A lot of them take this, not bound means, they say, that means you're not married any longer. The bonds of marriage are broken when they leave. Desertion is a ground for divorce and so forth. Not so. It means you're not bound to follow after them or quit serving the Lord in order to please them. But as a preacher, as a pastor, if my wife should decide she didn't want to live this life any longer, or she was going to leave me if I didn't quit, or she wanted to go somewhere else, but I felt the Lord wanted me to be here, if I wouldn't leave to please her, if I did, you'd think there was some poor excuse for a preacher. Well, just so, if you left where the Lord wanted you to please your husband or wife, if they want to go take a job somewhere where there isn't any church, you stay in church with your children. Let them go by themselves. But church is more important than your family when it comes to that. Serving the Lord has to come first. You're to obey your husbands and wives and take care of your children to the place where it doesn't cause you to disobey God. Leave off serving the Lord. The Bible teaches us that the Lord's house ought to come before our own houses. Taking care of it, cleaning it up, ought to be more important than taking care and cleaning up our own. But belief is what we're talking about here. Unbelief in the place the Lord has given the church, and the place it ought to have in our life, the importance of it, and so forth. We ought to do these things with extreme care and after much prayer and supplication and with grace and wisdom and love. Been much sorrow, but when we have to stay true to God, stay true to God. Some don't believe it's better to be poor than right with God. Poor and right with God than rich and out of God's will, I meant to say. Some don't believe. Today, all we're plagued with those who don't believe.